this is what you're fighting for. I mean, every day you're out there.
What they're doing is blowing people off.
If you continue to look the other way and shut up, then the oppressors, the authoritarians, get total control and total power. Because this is just like in Arizona, this is just like in Georgia. It's another element that backs them into a corner and shows their lies and misrepresentations.
That's why this audience is gonna have to get engaged. As we've told you, this is the fight.
All this nonsense, all this spin, they can't handle the truth.
War Room, Battleground. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, so we're sitting in the last hour, historic day, Tuesday, 19 March, year of Lord 2024. First time in the history of this republic that a advisor, senior advisor to the president from the White House has gone to prison on a misdemeanor. Peter Navarro, we covered it live this morning, obviously at 5 o'clock, talked about it. One of the things I want to do today is to pivot to one of the reasons that the established order is so absolutely panicked about this coalition we've put together and what Dr. Navarro represents. Remember, he's been a fighter for the little guy from day one, whether it's manufacturing jobs, agriculture, to stop the invasion of both Europe and the United States because it's crushing working class people. I've got two I want to go through. I got Dave Walsh. We're going to talk about something that came out of the Saudis about the ridiculousness. Dave Walsh has been on here all the time to talk about the ridiculousness of this kind of cult of climate change and what it's done to this sustainable energy. In fact, I've got Dave. So I got Harnwell and Dave Walsh at the beginning. Let me start with Dave. Dave, the Saudi foreign minister, because I'm about to go to Harnwell in a minute and talk about the farmers, right, which is kind of based on this foundation. Talk to me if Denver could be so kind as to put the story up. The Saudi minister, and I think he's the energy minister, so he's like the grand poobah on all this. He just called out the ridiculousness that you've been doing in a much more professorial way. He just came out and said, hey, fossil fuel is not going to go away. It's not going to come close to going away. All these plans that we're making to do transition, particularly the rapid transition that the elites in Western Europe and the United States are doing, is absurd. It makes no scientific sense. It's not going to happen. But you're destroying the economy. And when they say that, you're destroying working class people, both in Western Europe and the United States. Can you put in perspective what he said and how meaningful it is?
Well, he's Amin Nasser is the CEO of Saudi Aramco, the world's largest oil enterprise and oil and gas enterprise. Went public a couple of years ago, a piece of it, still the majority owned by the royal family. But he's appearing at the CERA conference. The CERA conference is the annual largest oil and gas show in the world. It's held in Houston. Always, you know, recently everybody there out with pom-poms on figuring out how to deal with and expand their renewables footprint and talking about net zero and decarb at that conference, even though it's the world's major oil and gas event. It's been held for over 20 years now. Dan Yergin started it. He's the guy that wrote the famous book about the history of oil and Saudi specifically, Aramco. But what he's presented yesterday in his opening remarks, Nasser, were basically that this transition is not working. And he reminded everybody once again that less than 4% of the world's all-in energy is provided by wind and solar after 40 years of this movement to wind and solar, and particularly the heavy subsidization of the last 15 years in Western Europe and the United States, Australia, New Zealand, very specifically, that the total energy impact, and for example, here in the U.S., since 1976, renewables in the solar and wind form have moved the needle on total renewables as a content of U.S. energy by a grand total of 4% since 1976. And that's after years and years and years now of nearly $1 trillion in subsidies subsidizing wind and solar and battery storage now have had a relatively nominal to meaningless effect on the all-in energy supply for transportation, home heating, fuel, and electricity. Nominal supply because they're very trivial outcomes energy-wise. They're very small, intermittent, part-time, small quantity energy creation devices. And he's going on to indicate also, and he's exactly right, major efficiency gains in combustion turbines, in automobiles, in fuel use over the years have provided much, much more real energy delta. That's more efficiency from gas and oil fired engines, be it jet engines, gas turbines, car engines, over the last 20 years have provided much more absolute energy, the efficiency gains in this technology, than have wind and solar all in across the world. So he's forecasting no end in sight to the demand for oil and gas, but specifically harping on the fact that the BRICS nations and the global south will lead the way. They've got 80% of the global population, and they're going to keep moving on a continuous duty, conventional energy modality, which includes heavy, heavy use of oil and gas. So interesting, his comments were direct and upfront to this moving to renewable transition kind of Sarah, Dan Jurgen Sarah has kind of morphed into people, even in the oil industry, talking this, but not really able to achieve anything with wind and solar.
What does this mean? Because you see all the policy issues that, look, we had John Kerry essentially ran the State Department as the head of climate change. We've kowtowed to the Chinese Communist Party because, quote unquote, we need them for climate change. Our entire national security, foreign policy, industry. I mean, you can't even, to the simple thing, you can't watch a golf tournament over the weekend that it's just relentless. Everything's about sustainable energy. Everything is about the transition. What does this mean as far as the reality check in Western Europe and the United States among our elites to accept what is, and this is what I love about you coming on, you kind of give that say, hey, physical properties are not going to change, right? The second law of thermodynamics is not going to change. These are the physical properties of the world that we have today, and this is what it means as far as energy goes. You can't build a robust economy for an industrial power that makes sure that working class people can both earn a living and also not be able to pay for that living, that it doesn't cost, you know, outrageous sums that the elites don't impact. So what do you think his statement is going to do about, because it's clashing head on with these radicals' policies, from everything from farmers to cars to how you heat your home, how you get energy into your computer, all of it.
Well, the culprit over here, the biggest single culprit in the last 20 years was the endangerment finding by the Obama EPA in the first year of his administration, wherein CO2 was elevated to being identified by the administration, then the EPA, in the first year of his administration as a harmful pollutant, which it is not. With the elevation of CO2 as a harmful pollutant, the mantra begins, and that Wall Street op-ed last week we chatted about highlighted this very, very accurately. Corporate leadership across the board, major Wall Street publicly traded firms, must be mouthing transition, decarbonization, sustainability, net zero, all of the time. It's got to be in their messaging because we've made that part of de rigueur of corporate life in the U.S. Even though the reality that the CEO of Saudi Aramco points out very accurately yesterday, the reality of years and years and years of this has resulted in almost no needle movement globally of the use of renewables for actual energy. So at some stage, and then coupled with the sheer huge, huge cost of attempting to get the needle moved just a little bit more on wind and solar, which is a case of diminishing returns. The more of it you apply, the less growth you get in the absolute amount of it, because, you know, in the same time zone, in the same regional space, the more you apply, the less incremental energy you wind up yielding and harvesting. We have got to come to our senses with modulating this CO2 as damaging approach. It is not. And begin to get rational.
One of the most brilliant. Yeah, but we got to be beyond hope. One of the best things you've done for the show is to say, hey, even if you take the federal government away, if you go down to the next tranche to the states where the power companies are really playing, they're laying out a program of capital expenditures that we're not going to be able to unwind. In fact, you've actually made the, and you're not a cynical guy, the cynical thing that, hey, one of the reasons people are buying into this at the lobbyist level and the state government level, there is a lot of capital expenditures that have to happen to do this transition that wouldn't normally have to happen if you just kept going down the pike of what you had. Once you make these capital expenditures, you're going to be set on a path that is going to be tough to unwind, and particularly to unwind to get back to cheap and plentiful energy. Is it not?
No, it's true. And I mentioned two examples again. NextEra for Florida have announced a $300 billion solar and battery storage and hydrogen conversion plan that will take and multiply times by a factor of 10 their annual CapEx budget. Duke Energy has done the same here and in the Carolinas. These programs, even if they don't work, will land in ratepayers' cost for 20 to 25 years as these costs are amortized into electricity rates. Even if these programs don't work and have the very low yield energy that we know that they'll have based on physics, ratepayers will have to pay for them. So we're looking at 2 to 3 times higher electricity costs beyond inflation just to pay for the mass installation of this hugely expensive capital spending on this stuff. And again, solar is 4.5 times more costly in capital spending space than conventional combined cycle gas-fired technology. Battery storage is about 20 times more expensive when you factor in its 2 to 3 hour-a-day effectivity and only 10-year life, about 20 to 30 times more costly than conventional power, the CapEx part of it. So the rates are going to go through the roof, especially through regulated utilities who get to pass this along whether or not these things work. So, yeah, they're benefiting massively. They've jumped on this program and on board with it because financially for them, it's a windfall. It creates asset churn, faster asset churn in their asset base of power plants that used to be 30 to 50-year life. Now this comes along with an opportunity to layer on top of an existing asset base a whole new asset base of very part-time renewables at a huge cost to ratepayers. So now the utilities are regulated ones are getting all over this, Dominion another one, Dominion Energy, all over pushing this very, very hard. It's a massive financial benefit to them.
I want to end with farmers because it's just not direct energy costs. It's also the cost of fertilizer. Every different aspect of productive life goes up. The farmers in Europe and the United States, it almost seems like they're trying to put them out of business. Ben's going to join in a second where they're actually giving a sop to the farmers, given their political muscle about the Ukraine. But just talk to me about the farmers for a second. In Western Europe and the United States are under massive pressure from the cult of climate change, sir.
Well, they're under pressure across two fronts. Well, the main one is abandoning heavy use of nitrogen and ammonia fertilizers, the basis of which chemically is natural gas in making those fertilizers. So the abandonment of the large use of those is tremendously negative to productivity of farmland, especially countries like Holland that have the highest yield per acre in the world, the U.S. Once we get to the abolition of fertilizers that have caused by themselves a tripling of farm yield in the last 50 to 60 years, you've got destitution for family farms and others. Also, then a move towards somehow finding a way to electrify major farming devices, tractors, harvesters, reapers, combines. That's out there. The way in the future, probably not really feasible on a cost basis. You're talking abandoning equipment that runs on gas and diesel that is very, very cost effective. But that's the minor thing. The major thing is the fertilizer shift away from natural gas-based ammonia and other nitrogen-based fertilizers that are natural gas-based. That's a hideous step backward in the massive farming productivity we've seen in the world in the last 50 years.
What impact do you think the Saudis announcement today that this is all a joke? You're not going to end with fossil fuels. You've taken your best shot. You put $1 trillion of subsidies. You got 4%. What type of impact do you think this speech is going to have?
I think it's helpful. I think the UAE appearance in the COP28 with exactly the same message to the participants in that conference, right up front, the chair of that conference, as a keynote that, you know, Saudi Aramco and Sarah are a keynote speaker always as the world's major oil and gas, now partially publicly traded company. It has a tremendous effect. I mean, this guy has tremendous swag across the industry globally, and he's painting the picture accurately, and that is the Global South. And really, about 170 of the world's 187 countries are really not on this page of net zero decarbonization. Understand and recognize they must use oil and gas to push forward their prosperity. and destitute countries in sub-Saharan Africa and Asia cannot sustain economic growth with renewable content of about 5% energy value being the only investment made in those countries. They know this. So BRICS moves forward as a strong entity based on a dependence on fuels that work and fuels that are efficient, cost-effective, and abundant for mankind. So I'm hoping, I think this will have an effect, is people are forced to listen to this message at SARA and a few months ago at COP28 from the chair of the event itself. So this is good news in a perverse way that our energy competitors are telling us, hey, you guys are taking a backbench seat to your detriment, your ruination industrially. They're communicating that very openly and directly. It's almost a sad thing.
One of the central theses of President Trump's campaign is full spectrum energy dominance. That is the foundational element, as Dave Walsh has preached on here for 4 years, for a peace and prosperity. Full spectrum energy dominance here in the United States to get this economy back up. And I'm telling you, African Americans, Hispanic citizens, Asians, white working class, middle class have seen how their lives have been destroyed with this radical program of John Kerry and Joe Biden, and they're not having it. And this is a signal, not noise, about what we have to do to turn this ship around. Dave Walsh, great as usual. How do people get to you? What social media are you on?
So just one more. It is bittersweet to see our major competitor in oil and gas globally, the Saudis, actually who do want us to remain strong as a consumer of their products and as an ally and as a military ally. It's kind of a last chance kid that their chairman of Aramco are beseeching us to, why don't we think about getting back in the game? It's actually to their benefit that we do, even though they're a direct competitor in this space. Anyhow, so it's amazing to hear this, but I'm reachable on Getter. See my stuff on Getter at the Dave Walsh Energy and Truth Social the same. Thank you, Steve.
Dave, once again, great. Thank you so much for your analysis. Ben Harnwell, as much as the elites in Davos detest the farmers and are trying to put them out of business, and you see these farmer protests all over Europe, the muscle of the farmers has they've done a full flex. Talk to me about the elites below Ukraine, the farmers, and what's happened here over the last day or two.
Good afternoon, Steve. Well, really, it's quite shocking, actually, because the farmers have succeeded. The ever-present threat of a farmer protest has bludgeoned Europe's political leadership into backing down. What happened last night in a meeting of the head of the, there's a big conference in Brussels this week of the European leaders to discuss exactly what to do with regards to farming subsidy support protection. And the farmers obviously descending on Brussels right now as we speak in order to make their presence felt. There was an earlier meeting, a Sherpa meeting, call it that, of the envoys of the 27 European member states. And what happened was in that meeting, and I'll tell you which country it was in just a moment, but they succeeded in getting the European nations to block Ukrainian imports into the Union, which will cost Ukraine approximately 1.2 billion euros. Now, the backdrop of this, Steve, is that we've seen in the press over recent days, President Emmanuel Macron, France, coming out saying, you know, and he's resisted pressure from the Germans, for example. He's doubled down on this, saying, you know, we might need to see NATO troops on the ground in Ukraine. And to rule that out now would be to hand Russia defeat. Well, so which of the countries was it, Steve? Right? Which of the EU countries was it that insisted the most in hanging Ukraine out to dry? It was France. The interesting thing about this, I won't dwell on the fact that here you have the posturing on the public stage, the gung-ho, the whatever it takes in front of the cameras, and then behind closed doors, it's hanging Ukrainians out to dry. But the actual takeaway of this, and I think I give credit to Politico, who's not our natural ally on these things, I think they came out with the absolutely perfect take on this. And they said that today's decision doesn't just mean a revenue loss for Ukraine. It proves that EU leaders' support for Ukraine caves under interest group pressure. And that is absolutely right. we're beginning to see that. And I think the presence of that reality now is only going to grow stronger. And of course, the factor here that is concentrating everybody's minds is the European Parliament elections, continent-wide, I should say European Union-wide, across all of the 27 member states in the second week of June. That is why, that is the simple reason why, as you say, there was a full flex on behalf of the European farmers seen last night in Brussels.
How the budget's getting rolled out here the next couple of days, the second part of it, we're leading an effort to try to have either shut the border or shut the government. But there's also Johnson, there's talk about he may take a break. They go for Easter, come back immediately, put the supplemental out, the $60 billion, although it's lost tremendous momentum here in the United States. In the EU, where does the war in Ukraine stand right now, particularly with the full flex? And look, Putin, that was not a real election, obviously, but it shows you he does have tremendous support by the Russian people. Where are the heads of Europe right now, also the media, on the whole, let's continue the Ukraine war, because it's lost tremendous momentum here, although our sociopathic overlords are still going to try to jam this thing through? Where do we stand with Ukraine overall?
Well, there is something interesting, I think, on specifically this point. Charles Michel, who's the president of the European Council, that's one of the European Council is the third of the three European Union institutions, along with the European Commission, the European Parliament. Then you also have the European Council, which represents the actual elected governments within the EU. And it needs to be like that because the EU is fundamentally an undemocratic bloc. So the governments can control things, their agenda themselves, through that third voice, the European Council. So Charles Michel came out and said that that Europe needs to take responsibility for its own security and not rely heavily on the support of countries such as the US. And he basically sort of expands on that argument. But it's interesting to hear that voice being sort of at that level saying, Steve, what you've been calling for on the war room for the last 18 months, it's now starting to filter through in the highest levels of the European Union. The reality is, of course, we're going to kick in because nobody in Europe wants to actually pay for this. So, you know, they're going to have to make decisions. Are we going to be paying to defend Ukraine, or are we going to be paying here in continental Europe for the social welfare provisions, the six week off a year, the retire at 63 and all the rest of it? There are going to be some difficult choices for the European sociopathic overlords to make. And of course, if, you know, speaking now to our followers, warm followers here in continental Europe, if you want to make your voice heard, the only opportunity to do that, to shout as loudly as you can, will be at the European Parliament elections.
Do you think that this, we had Nigel on this morning, obviously in a breathtaking, that we covered at 5 o'clock, a breathtaking interview, just great, as only Nigel can do it, with President Trump that played it earlier today. Do you believe that Ukraine and the financial commitment to Ukraine will be a big part, a central part of the European parliamentary elections in June?
I think the countries, you know, it's a moving target, Steve. I think what's happening in the United States is going to lead what happens in the European Union. And that's certainly been the case from a top-down approach in the first 2 years of this war. Now that the American people are starting to make their presence ever increasingly felt, and that's been manifested mostly in Congress, thanks to the constant pushing of MAGA. Now that is starting to take place, it's now turn for the European peoples to act similarly over the next 4 months. I think a lot can happen in the next 4 months. If America's support definitively dries up, then the European leadership, and they know that they are now on a knife edge if they want to can keep their hands on the levers of power. If America's support definitively dries up in the next 4 months, they're not going to keep flogging this dead horse, because it will be political suicide for them. That's a live question, I think, and it's going to be answered over the next 4 months in the run up to June. Right now, the determining controlling factor in this is the American people. That's absolutely clear.
You're telling me then, I want the Warren Posse to hear that, the fight we have on this budget, and particularly the supplemental, is going to drive much of the political conversation in Europe, and particularly the European parliamentary elections in June. Good. That's what I wanted to hear. I believe that thoroughly, and that's why I think they're trying every different way to get the $60 billion through. But MAGA has been, America First has been adamant about this. Ben, we'll get to that. There's a lot of polling on Christianity and religion. I want to get to that tomorrow when we have more time. This has been great. And great to know that the farmers in Europe did a flex and they're starting to be taken care of at least a little bit. Where do people go on social media to get you?
Thank you so much, Steve. Get my social media platform of choice. Just tap in there, my surname, Harnwell, at Harnwell. And I tell you what, folks, if you don't normally go on to the app or even onto the Getter website, do so now, because I've got some absolutely storming posts up at the top of my feed right now over our recent victory in court, criminal court here in Italy. At Harnwell on Getter, Steve. Thanks so much. God bless.
We've got a lot more to say about that. We'll say it over the next couple of days and weeks to the run-up to the CPAC Hungary. A lot going on with the Gladiator School and, of course, Ben Harnwell's courageous stand. Very honored to have both Navarro and Harnwell be part of the show. One was sent to prison today. He fought it courageously but showed up. Ben Harnwell fought it, and the gods were with us, and we won on that one. So, Ben, your courage is incredible. Honored to have you be part of the team. Ben Harnwell in Rome, our head of our international. Birchgold.com, the end of the dollar empire. You heard about the decarbonization that Dave Walsh talked about? Well, hold it. That whole thing is part of the end of the dollar empire. The BRICS nations that have the resources said, hey, these people are crazy, and the deplorables may have to take this. We don't. So we're going to buy gold. Let them print money. We'll buy gold. Let them do central bank digital currency. We'll buy gold. Birchgold.com/Bannon. Go check it out today. The so-called financial experts thought we were in the clear. They were anticipating around 6 rate cuts by the Fed this year. And then the inflation data came out higher than expected. Friends, this isn't going away. It can't. The U.S. is $34 trillion plus in the hole, and yet we keep printing money, which pushes the prices you pay every day even higher. So you can either bury your head in the sand or you can do something about it. Diversify a portion of your savings into gold with Birch Gold Group. Gold is your hedge against inflation, and Birch Gold makes it easy to own. They'll help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and you don't pay a penny out of pocket. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898 and get your free info kit on gold. Then talk to a precious metals specialist on how to protect your savings from persistent inflation with gold. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898. Do it today. Action, action, action.
Are you tired of progressive corporations and exhausted trying to keep up with all the virtue signaling when you're simply trying to buy products? Progressive corporate America continues to push messaging that further alienates conservative Americans, all while eroding the future of the American dream. It's prominent all over the country. Companies like Starbucks strong-arming their customers to support abortion. Financial services like PayPal canceling customers for their political views. Makeup companies like Maybelline making a mockery of women by supporting transgender models. And beer companies like Bud Light forcing gender ideology on you when all you want is to enjoy a cold beer. Thankfully, we don't have to fund these companies any longer with our hard-earned dollars. With Public Square, we now have a solution. It's simple. Join the movement of millions of patriotic Americans who love truth, our country, and our Constitution at publicsq.com. That's publicsq.com. Public Square is an app and website where you can get connected to tens of thousands of businesses from all different industries that share your value for life, family, and freedom. Whether you're looking to buy coffee, find a new athletic clothing that knows what a woman is, and shop for clean skincare, or simply find a new restaurant in your community that won't lecture you about your political views, publicsq.com is your resource. Public Square also offers discounts to many high-quality businesses on the platform, so that you can actually receive incentive for spending money with companies that don't hate you. Public Square is free to join as consumer or a business owner. And you can get started today at publicsq.com. Remember, either as a consumer or a business owner, download the app now. That's publicsq.com, publicsq.com.
Tax Network USA is pure war room for solving your IRS tax problems. If you owe back taxes, COVID was your lucky break. Tax court shut down, the IRS paused, and you skated. Well, baby, that party is over. The IRS is adding 20,000 enforcement agents, basically tax cops. Honest, hardworking Americans like you are in the crosshairs. Rich people have tax lawyers and you don't. You'll pay up plus interest and penalties. Tax USA Network has brilliant war room type strategies designed to solve your IRS problem quickly in your favor. Never call the IRS yourself. You're at their mercy. You could sit on hold for 6 to 8 hours and get hung up on, grind you for all your back taxes plus interest and penalties. Tax Network USA attorneys have a preferred direct line to the IRS. They know which agents to talk to and who to avoid. If they get difficult agent, hey, they just call a different agent. Tax Network USA learned of a limited time special IRS offer. The IRS is willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. Find out if you qualify before it's too late. Schedule your free confidential consultation with Tax Network USA. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. Think about that. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. They offer a best-in-class client satisfaction guarantee. Now call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000. And visit Tax Network USA. That's TNUSA.com/Bannon. TNUSA.com/Bannon. Make sure you take action on this today. This IRS grind is only going to get much worse.
All this nonsense, all this spin, they can't handle the truth.
War Room Battleground with Stephen K. Bannon.
He asked a question about what can really stop it. And the bloodbath, really? I'm going to say one word, reparations.
Who ends up paying for it? Let me ask you, just as a community.
I can tell you that. I feel that the Democratic Party should pay reparations to blacks because it was in the 1800s when the Republicans, which was known as abolitionists, separated from the Dixiecrats because they did not want to continue slavery. So after the abolitionists helped black people become Republicans and they changed their name, black people were able to own businesses. They was able to create the Black Wall Street, Rosewood. They were the most wealthiest communities in the United States. And so it was the Democratic Party who created the Ku Klux Klan, and the Klan were the ones who hated the blacks for creating Black Wall Street, and that's why they dropped the bomb on Black Wall Street. It was the Klan that did that. 2 years later, in 1923, it was the Klan that destroyed Rosewood. So if anybody owes black people money and reparation, it should be the Democratic Party, the Ku Klux Klan, which they originated from, that Democrats should be paying the money to blacks for all that they've done with slavery, wow, the destruction of the black economic engines like Black Wall Street. I feel the Democratic Party should pay reparations, wow, to black people.
I know you hate your grocery bill just as much as I hate my grocery bill. I know you hate paying high gas as much as I hate paying high gas. So we need to come together as one, white, black, gray, purple, orange. And for the illegals, it's proper channels to go through.
Yeah.
Like every other ethnicity, there you go. It's proper channels to go through. You shouldn't be able to come across the border illegally and receive
you
help.
Illegally come in my back door, you're going to get shot.
You got
legally.
Plain and simple.
You know, illegally right. Coming into my country.
That's right.
So I understand where everyone is coming from with the illegals. It's proper ways to go through these channels to come into America and officially become an American.
Just make the playing field level. What are you afraid of?
Yeah.
Here in the black community, the kids are going to school. You go out into the white communities, the school, what they have in there, the computers and what they have in technology, we're so far behind. Mm-hmm. All this is by design. Because if you can't get out here in this world, they don't teach you how to be entrepreneurs. They don't teach you how to invest your money. We're not teaching anything like that.
And you get back to this, though. And it's been Democrat for 60 years.
Yes.
What the hell? Why does the black community keep voting for Democrats?
Because we've been brainwashed. When I was coming up as in my household, it was a straight Democratic ticket.
Black people better understand this. If we don't stand together and we don't make a change, they've already brought the replacements in for us.
Yes.
If we don't shut the borders in the black community and get all the illegals out of our community, there will be no more black community.
Okay, welcome. I really want to thank Real America's Voice, Rob Sig, Parker Sig, for allowing the great Ben Burquam to be part of our show over here on Lindell TV today. We're all kind of in this together, and they help us do our production, all of it in our recent shift. Ben, amazing work up in Chicago. I'm kind of blown away. One thing I want to say, you know, coming from an Irish Catholic working class family, when I was a little boy, particularly around my grandfather and those people, it was the same thing. It was not even a concept. And that this is back in the 1950s, early 60s. Yeah. It was not even a concept that the Bannon, associated Bannon, where you never heard Republicans were considered the wealthy white people or just were anti-immigrant, anti-this, anti-that, anti-working man, anti-union, all of it. It wasn't really to Jack. Jack Kennedy was a Democrat. The thing with Nixon, it wasn't really till the Vietnam War, and particularly McGovern, I think, broke that, being so anti-war and kind of perceived as anti-American, although McGovern was a war hero in WW2, but it was really President Reagan that brought those Democrats in. But people say, well, how can you be brainwashed? Hey, just these communities, you just don't even hear and don't even think about Republican. But man, you've hit something hard. These folks are smart. They're tough. They're seeing the world as it is. I mean, is there a revolution going on? Is there a MAGA revolt going on in Chicago? Or are we just kidding ourselves?
Yeah, there's no question about it, Steve. There is a MAGA revolt going on. And before I get to that, I want to make one thing. You just had Ben Harnwell on talking about the farmers in Europe. Well, I came from the Central Valley. We escaped California a few years ago, and the exact same thing was happening to the Central Valley. And the farmers sat back and allowed it to happen. They protested a little bit, but we should have been doing the exact same thing the farmers in Europe are doing today. And I think you're going to start seeing that. You heard it on that clip today from the guys I was with yesterday. It was this illegal invasion that tipped the scales, where they said, wait a second, this has gone too far. And it's going to take something like that, whether it's the farmers in Europe who are now standing up and driving over the barricades and spreading manure all over these politicians that are really the real manure. It's going to take something like that. And we're seeing that in Chicago. It is
Hang on. I want to go back to the Central Valley. This is central because the people in Chicago are not that much different than the Central Valley, not that much different than the farmers in Holland.
Yeah.
It's the elites just think you're trash, right? Whether you're African American or it's just some farmer. Go back to, this is such a key point. The farmers it was about the water. The farmers and about the species.
Right.
I think it was the snail daughter or something like that.
Talk about the farmers.
And Victor Davis Hanson. This is how Victor Davis Hanson rose to national prominence, because he was a farmer up there, I think near Fresno. Walk me through how the farmers got crushed. And here's what: they didn't fight back. They did not unite and fight back.
That's exactly right. I'll walk you through it exactly, because that's where I got my political start. I was going to Fresno State at the time. I was involved. I actually got involved with the Central Valley Tea Party, and then through that got involved with the water fight. I was the youth spokesperson at Fresno State for the Central Valley farmers. We went across. We did the Farmer Relief Freedom Relay. You had this huge mobilization of people that wanted to help across America, and then you had these brainwashed Democrat farmers who came in the middle of it and destroyed the whole thing. And now you have farmers who used to get 100% of their water. They are thankful if they get 30% of their water allocation. You have had an entire industry destroyed. I grew up in an industry that is almost 100% destroyed, the timber harvesting industry that was shut down in the mountains of the Central Valley, supposedly to protect the spotted owl, did nothing to protect the spotted owl. So instead of harvesting 200,000 acres of timber every year, now we're burning over over 1 million acres of timber every year at the throne, at the altar of climate change, at the altar of these spotted owls. We did the same thing with the Delta smelt. And it's always the elite, the San Francisco elite, that come down and put their thumb on these communities. And sadly, you don't have enough communities stand up like we see in Europe. And I'll give you a perfect example of it. We took 1,000 migrant farm workers from the Central Valley to San Francisco to Nancy Pelosi's office as a protest. And we were marching out there. Many of them guaranteed were illegals, probably more than half of them. And we were out there, and they couldn't have cared less about them. They couldn't have cared less about the people that were actually picking the fruit. I actually had 2 people come up to me on the streets of San Francisco and tell us, we don't care about farmers. We get our food from the grocery store. They literally said that. I had 2 people basically verbatim say that to me. They don't get it. But the sad reality is you had several of these farmers that were Democrat controlled, and they came in, and at the end of the day, because we had talked about taking tractors and going down and shutting down California, shutting down the interstates, shutting down San Francisco, dropping manure all over the streets of San Francisco and Sacramento, and they didn't have the balls to do it. And now you see farmers that have been absolutely destroyed in the Central Valley. And if we don't wake up, they're going to do it to every community across America. They're going to do it to the inner city of Chicago. They're going to do it to your community. Every community is fighting the same battle. They've just separated us enough that we don't realize they're the same enemy.
Well, talk about Chicago. They're doing it there. And the people, do you see, listen, no person in this country has done all the way from the Darien Gap and the Colombian border. You're at every rally, but you've also done amazing reporting all over the country. Now Chicago. You've seen the awakening of this country. What you didn't see in the Central Valley a couple of years ago. You've seen the awakening in the MAGA movement. You've seen the awakening under President Trump. Is there a real awakening in inner city Chicago that they understand that this is a joint fight, that they're trying to crush them like they're trying to crush the Hispanic citizens in the Rio Grande Valley?
Yeah. Yeah, and I will say there was an awakening in the Central Valley, and it's analogous to where we're at right now, and really we're at that fork in the road. There was an awakening. You have huge conservative, you have people in the Central Valley that will never, ever, ever be Democrats. They will never support another Democrat. The problem is the election, they've perfected election theft in California, and so a lot of people in California just throw their hands up in the air and say, the hell with it, and they've moved out. But in Chicago, you're kind of at that tipping point. You're at the place where they say, okay, we realize these are the bad guys. Pritzker's the bad guy. Johnson's the bad guy. All of these Democrats are the bad guy. And now you're at that fork in the road. And really, it's up to Chicago to see where they take it from here. I believe they will, though. When you see the look in these guys' eyes, when you heard Bob Israel say yesterday, it's going to be a bloodbath. These guys aren't kidding. These guys are from the streets of Chicago. Most of those guys you saw in that interview today were former gang members, were grew up in these hard streets and had to fight and to survive these streets. And they are saying, we're done with it. So I think we're playing with an entirely different animal. These guys are standing up, and we're going to see a shift here. Now, again, you're talking about Mayor Daley's Chicago that also has perfected election fraud. So it's an uphill battle, but there's no question there is a major paradigm swing taking place, not just in Chicago, but across America. MAGA is ascendant in the inner city, and you're seeing it here, and you're seeing it in Minneapolis, and you're seeing it in New York. All across this country, you are seeing it. And I just want to, the one thing that they are begging, the one thing that will put it over the top, they are begging President Trump to come here. They are begging the Republicans to come here. Yeah. For the longest time, Republicans have basically given up on these communities. They haven't shown up. The reason why they didn't even know about, they voted for Democrats, they hadn't even talked to a Republican. Republicans don't show up in their communities. Yep. And they are begging you. If you are a Republican, if you are MAGA, come to the community. They're welcoming you with open arms. And that message needs to spread to President Trump and everybody. We have to outreach to these communities. That's the only way we're going to get them.
I think President Trump is thinking about that, doing a rally in Chicago. More on that. We're pressed for time, Ben. I really appreciate Real America's words. Last thing, the Democrat convention this summer is going to be in Chicago. Yeah. Do you think these people are going to let it be known that they're not happy?
Yes, yes, they're already talking about it. They're coming out in red. So if you are a Chicago MAGA and you are sick of the Democrats and you are sick of the lies, show up to that convention. They're going to march around that building in red. That's what they're saying. They're turning Chicago red. So plan for that this summer. I'm planning on being here for that with the guys, marching with them in the streets. And before my last thing, Steve, I got to say, today is my wife and I's 19th wedding anniversary. She's actually here with me. The girls are here with me doing some traveling. And I got to say, Billy, I love you. You've put up with me for 19 years. You were the best thing that ever happened to me. Now we've got a 13-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 2-month-old, and I can't be any more blessed. And this is why we fight, Steve. This is why I fight. I know this is why you fight. It's for the next generation and those that come after us. And it's an honor to do it, and I couldn't be any happier to be with the love of my life, Vili Berkwam.
I want to send my condolences. I'm just kidding. You're great. You're a handful, but you're a great guy. And she's in for the fight. She's in for the fight. Ben, thank you so much. Social media. You got so much other footage on this over Real America's Voice. Where do people go to get it all?
Yeah, I'll be posting it throughout the day at Ben Berkwam. I'm speaking in Geneva, Illinois tomorrow night. So if you guys want to join us for that, check it out. I put it on my social media at Ben Berkwam, frontlineamerica.com, americasvoice.news. If you missed our last episode, it was the Chicago special. Go to americasvoice.news. You can download the Law and Border episode there. Yeah. And I'll be posting everything I get today and tomorrow and the rest of the time we're up here.
By the way, we'll do the pregame on your speech tomorrow. Ben Berkwam, Geneva. Let's get that Mo and Grace. We put that everybody. We want a big crowd there. Ben, great job. Happy anniversary.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
HomeTitleLock.com. Don't let artificial intelligence and cyber, the combination. Remember, there's $6 trillion in home in equity, home equity, just sitting there with these interest rates. Not a lot of people are taking out seconds except the bad guys. Take a hard money loan out on your house. Like $100,000 at these interest rates, think you have an easy time paying that back. And people don't want to hear your tale of woe after it's happened. HomeTitleLock.com. Go there today. Immerse yourself in information. Just cost you a couple of bucks a month to take care of this problem. So go check it out. Mike Lindell, do you see an awakening, Mike? We had you on earlier. Do you see a real awakening in this country about what the issue is, the central issues? Like I said, the poor folks in Chicago, the Daily Machines perfected stealing elections. And so people from the Central Valley, California to Chicago just kind of toss their hands up and say, nothing I can do about it. Is that true? Is there nothing they can do about it?
That's not true at all. And you know what? I was just in Illinois, as you know, and in Chicago, I did multiple speeches while I was there. I actually went to the Capitol building in Chicago, and I had Democrats coming up to me wanting pictures. This is from the stuff that's destroying our country right now. The things that are destroying our country are just helping pour into this bucket, this mega bucket, from both sides. And because people's eyes are getting open, and there is everything you can do. Go to LindellPlan.com. There's one thing you can do. Get involved. We have a plan from the bottom up in every county. We're going to leave no county behind in this country. We have over 300,000 people in all 50 states. Get involved. Cause of America, I have that. The Election Crime Bureau, all this stuff that's linked to the Lindell Plan.
Hold it. When you say no county behind, you're committed. You went to Chicago. You were raving. You're not going to leave Cook County behind. Cook County, absolutely, they would say, is the most corrupt county in this about voting. You're prepared to say right now you will not leave Cook County behind.
Absolutely, we won't leave it behind. And you know what, Steve? That where our presentation, our things are so powerful now. It's like when I did a commercial back in the day to move Democrats over to Republicans, and I was told, you can't, you know how much it costs to flip a Democrat? I go, you know what? If you do a presentation that you can flip them, independents fall like, you can blow them over with a feather. We will leave no county behind. The stuff that's going on in Chicago, people are, everywhere I went in Chicago, I went all over the place, and they're just, I didn't see any negatives. I mean, I'm telling you, people are looking for hope, and that is this mega bucket. That's Donald Trump's bucket. That's the new Republican bucket. And they it's common sense, and we will fight it. Every single county, all 3,143 of them.
Mike, talk to us about deals. We've got a couple of minutes. People want to know deals. What do you got for us?
Well, this is the best deal of the year, everybody, because of all your support and using that promo code War Room. We came out, we're coming out across the country, but War Room got it first. It's the $25 extravaganza. We put all these things at $25. You go to MyPillow.com. You have our six-pack towel sets, $25. Premium MyPillows, king or queen, $25. Kitchen towels, $25. Sandals, $25. The sandals that came in, these are our new sandals for the season with impact shell. You can get two of the MyPillows, couch pillows, all this $25 sale. And if you go to the website, go to Steve's face there. There they all are, everybody. You can get a dog badge, $25. We put everything on sale for $25. Now the big thing, I'm going to say, beach towels, the new beach towels, USA beach towels on there. There's the $25 MyPillow premiums. But I want to tell you, this is an announcement right now. We had yesterday, and by the way, there's the mystore.com. You can use the promo code there, War Room. You guys, I'm going to do something that I'm not doing for the rest of the country, and that is all of your whole order ships for free with using the promo code War Room. Steve, normally everyone else has to buy a certain amount in order to get that free shipping. With the War Room Posse, they have been so, we've been so blessed to have them behind MyPillow and the call center, the people that they've supported at the call center. We're going to give free shipping. So you're getting the best prices in history, this $25 extravaganza. Every single item you find there, you're going to find like the six-piece towel set, normally $59.95, $25. All that, and then your whole order ships for free. So you could buy, you're getting stuff for almost cost. And this isn't a going out of business sale like a lot of these journalists will put out there. No, this is a thank you sale for the War Room Posse. And because you guys have been behind us, my employee-owned company getting attacked every day because I'm out there trying to secure our election platforms. And let's just keep attacking. Maybe Michael, shut up. Maybe he'll shut up about the election. Wrong. Okay? We're going to keep doing more and more.
Not going to happen.
The more they attack, Steve, the more specials we give to your audience there, to the War Room Posse.
They love you, Mike. Mike, we'll see you in the morning. Lou Dobbs is going to follow us right now on Lindell TV. Mike, we'll see you in the morning. Go with God, 800-873-1062 is the line. Tell the operators we're not going to let the IRS shut them down. MyStore.com, promo code War Room. Go there, check it all out, the alternative economy, the parallel economy, and, of course, MyPillow.com, promo code War Room. Lou Dobbs follows us next. Mike Lindell's after that here on Lindell TV. We're going to be back at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Obviously, this week is on fire. There's so many things going on. We're going to get into the Grace is going to join us. We're going to get the Bill Blaster up. So make sure that everybody can, that's the free app, to everybody can man the ramparts because this is going to be another slugfest this week, guaranteed. And the odds are long, but I kind of like where we can position this. Make sure if you like the geopolitics that you hear on Lou Dobbs, if you like what you hear from Dave Walsh and Harnwell when we go to Europe, if you like that, we've got Paradigm Press. It's Jim Rickards. Rickards is going to be back with us, I think, middle of the week, maybe Friday. Go to RickardsWarRoom.com. That's all one word. Rickards with an S. WarRoom, all one word, .com. Check out Strategic Intelligence. That's his newsletter. Comes out every month if you like it. Take a look, immerse yourself in the information. Maybe you want to sign up. That's Jim Rickards. Jim Rickards now a new contributor here at the War Room. That's from Paradigm Press. Of course, always go and check out Birch Gold, birchgold.com/Bannon. Make sure you talk to Philip Patrick and the team. It's now time you make contact. Go to birchgold.com/Bannon. Talk to Philip Patrick about gold as a hedge against times of turbulence. Because, folks, turbulence is what we got. Lou Dobbs, follow us. See you back here at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
True or false? Using your tax refund to pay off credit card debt is a smart thing. Actually, that's false. DoneWithDebt.com published a brilliant strategy designed to let you keep your hard-earned tax refund and reduce or eliminate credit card debt. Most Americans owe thousands in credit card debt. In fact, Daily Mail's got a story that 56 million Americans carry credit card debt. And that debt will take years to pay off, if you pay it off at all. Done with Debt found that filing bankruptcy is usually not the answer, and taking out loans to pay off credit cards usually increases the debt. When you engage Done with Debt, their legal experts and skilled negotiators take on the credit card companies for you. Their winning strategies are designed with one goal: solve your debt situation quickly and permanently. First things first. Chat with a Done with Debt strategist and explore your solutions. Some debt fighting strategies are time sensitive, so you'll need to move quickly. For a free consultation, visit donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Do it today. Take action.
warroomhealth.com. All one word, warroomhealth.com. Use the code WARROOM at checkout to save 67% of your first shipment. That's code WARROOM at checkout to save 67%. And do it again. War Room Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.